the first time in over a decade, Connecticut's 211 info line needs a funding hike. Why is that? And what has happened in the last 15 years prompting this ask? Joining us now to talk about this is Lisa Tepper Bates, who is the president and CEO of United Way of Connecticut. And by the way, United Way of Connecticut contracts with the state to run the 211 service. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you hear about price hikes or asking for more funding, people immediately are sort of triggered. So I thought this was certainly worth understanding, first of all, what has happened to 211 in the past 15 years, because I think that's very significant. Obviously, we have staffing shortages, which we'll get into. But can we just talk about the growth, the expansion, how many people are now being serviced by 211 in the past 15 years? Because I think that's a huge part of this story.
Well, you're exactly right. And it is a huge part of this story. I can tell you that in just the last few years, so since 2019, we have had a 300% growth in people reaching out to 211 on the web or through our phone-based contact center looking for help. That could be help to find baby formula. It could be help with emergency food for a family that just had a breadwinner lose a job and they're afraid of how they're going to make ends meet. It could be an elderly citizen who's looking for help to pay for winter heat. And in terms of that increase, just since 2019, we have seen a 45% increase in calls to 211 from people looking for that help. So that's in just the last few years. And I can tell you that a big part of that is driven by the fact that we know people in Connecticut are struggling. This is a great state. We love it here. And the quality of life for many of us is very good. But for a lot of people, they do struggle to make ends meet month to month. And the number of people struggling is going up. Our reporting through the ALIS report shows that we've seen an increase in families just barely making ends meet month to month or falling behind. That's now 40% of people in our state who really need some help from time to time when their resources are just too tight.
You know, it's interesting, Lisa, because just as a journalist, I feel like 211, you know, when I was growing up, 211 was always the, maybe not even growing up, but when I was working in television, you know, over a decade ago, and I was working at a Connecticut station. So, you know, yeah, about a decade ago, 211 was always the number that you gave out if it was a really hot day and you needed to find a place to cool off. Or to your point, if it was a really cold day and instead of, you know, being out on the streets, finding a place to warm up. Now it feels like 211 is everything. I mean, everything. I was doing a story about veterans earlier this month for Veterans Month, and it was like, oh, for more information, you know, call 211. And I think to myself, you know, when do we not refer people to 211? I mean, I don't know if 211 was initially supposed to just cover a certain population of people, but it also feels like, yes, you are correct. More people are falling under the category of what I think 211 was supposed to be, which is if you're food, shelter, insecure. But I think you guys have expanded to, I feel like, almost every population in Connecticut who could be struggling. I might be wrong, but I feel like 211 gets dropped all the time. In almost all of my news stories, you need more information, you need more resources, call 211. I mean, am I right in that, or has it always been that model?
Well, you know, you're right in the sense that I think there is growing awareness of the resources that we can help people with. And so I think your story is an important one because it shows that over time, people in our state have learned more and more about the help that 211 can provide. But in fact, we were founded in 2026, it'll be 50 years ago, as a public-private partnership with the state of Connecticut, between the United Ways of Connecticut and the state, to provide a one-stop shop for community resources across our state. And we're really proud of that. And we're pleased to serve as that resource. As you said, whether it is to help people find cooling centers in summer or to find a warming center in winter, or as we said, to find the resources a young mom who's struggling may need for her baby, or a family who is looking for food to put on the table may need. We are there for all of those Connecticut residents, whatever that need may be. And I do think the awareness has gone up. And part of the reason for that is that when we have crises like COVID, where we played a very central role for months and months, more people get to know us. And they get to know the wide range of resources we can help with. And that awareness we've found after every crisis, every disaster where we've played a very central role, there's more awareness about 211 and more people who then know to send folks our way or to call if they are the one in need of help.
How many people, and again, you don't have to give me an exact number, Lisa, but give me an idea. When we talk about 211, how many people are you think in Connecticut on average, like in an average year, are utilizing 211?
Yeah, well, I can tell you that last year in 25, we served 465,000 callers with help. And that is an enormous increase. Just again, since 2019, you know, before the pandemic, that's an increase of 45%.
And wow.
On the internet, yeah. And on the internet, even more, the growth of the use of our website has been truly exponential in the last few years. And we welcome anyone who can self-serve to find the resources they need at 211ct.org. And that's great. And we welcome that. But at the same time, we've seen that a lot of people still want to speak to a human being.
So we
and
do
I'd suggest to you that, yeah.
No, I was going to say, so that kind of leads to the second thing that we're seeing with 211. And I noticed this in a different agency. It wasn't 211 necessarily, but when the government shutdown was going on and people were very concerned about obviously SNAP benefits, I had gotten a call from a different state agency who was helping out DSS because they were so short-staffed. And I know 211 is dealing with the same thing, right? You guys are short-staffed.
Yeah, we are, in large part because, you know, we're grateful for our partnership with the state, but our core contract that supports the 211 information and referral service, the basic needs hotline, that funding has been the same dollar amount since 2009.
Wow.
And what that means, you know, a dollar in 2009 was worth more than a dollar today. So that actually means that our level of funding has decreased. So not only have costs gone up for us as a business, but that dollar amount is really worth less all these years forward, 15 years forward. So we have actually fallen from 32 staff who man the phones and take these calls and help people to just 17. And that's 17 people who staff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, including holidays. So that's tough. They do great work, and we're really proud of that team. But we know that Connecticut residents are showing us that they want more help in the way that we can offer it. And that requires more people to be there for them. So we're hoping to see a funding increase that would allow us to expand that staffing capacity and serve more people more quickly.
So we've got Lisa Tepper Bates here from United Way of Connecticut. And Lisa, really quickly, I was reading an article out of the CT Mirror about this. So I'm not too off track, though. When I had mentioned that I thought that 211 has expanded. I'm like, something happened recently where I felt like, oh, there you go. 211's going to cover it. So the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, which at the national level has been nixed or is on the way out. But Connecticut kind of doubled down and was like, nope, we're not getting rid of this. We're going to keep investing in this. Didn't 211 adopt that?
So, you know, that's a great question, Melissa. And we have for about 30 years been a partner to the effort called the National Suicide Prevention Line, which was the predecessor to 988.
Okay.
But in the last 3 years, when the 988 dialing code was established at the national level, our efforts around that National Suicide Prevention Line became 988. And that is such an important resource. So I'm glad you raise it. 988 is available any time of the day, any day of the week, to anyone who is experiencing a mental health crisis. And Melissa, really pleased to tell you that that effort in Connecticut has been a tremendous success. We are able to answer every call very quickly, within about 5 seconds, as fast as you'd pick up if a friend called you who was in trouble. So we're really pleased about that, and pleased to tell you that in about 90% of those calls, the callers tell us that our trained crisis specialists help them to de-escalate their crisis and to find a path, right, to connect to resources they may need, whether that's a support group or a more urgent type of assistance. So we're really pleased about being able to offer that important service to Connecticut.
Yeah, I just think that's, I think that's huge. And I am curious, Lisa, because I couldn't get a clear, I couldn't get a clear understanding on this. So how much money do you feel like comfortably 211 should see? And obviously, who are you waiting for to give you the money? Does that have to go through the legislature, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, too. So we're asking for an additional $3 million to resource this important service. And Melissa, just for your callers to know, it's about $10 a call for us to speak with somebody, understand their situation, and refer them to the right resources to help them meet their need. And if we're able to secure that funding, we would be able to double our capacity to help people every week. So we'd go from about 2,500 calls to over 5,000 that we could manage in a week. And most of our callers would hold for less than 3 minutes. And that's really important. There are some people now who are, they're just holding far too long looking for the help that we can provide to them. So being able to answer those calls more quickly and connect them to the right resources in their community to help them. That's an important role we play, and we need to expand the capacity to provide that help for more people.
So do we know how much money we would need to do that?
Yep, that's about $3 million, and that would help us catch up, if you will, from what we've lost given the inflation since our 2009 contract, and add some so that we can add more staff. That's what we really need, are those frontline staff to take the calls from people in Connecticut who are in some form of crisis themselves, looking for important resources that they need for themselves and their family.
I mean, $3 million, I feel like that is doable when you talk about helping over 400,000 people a year. And I do think we're going to still see kind of the trickle down effect of what's gone on in just the last couple of months with government shutdown and just major changes. I feel like $3 million is not a huge ask. So does that have to go through the, I apologize if I didn't understand you correctly. So does like the legislature have to approve that, or how quickly could you see that money? Because I agree, you got to be able to bulk up the staffing, certainly.
Well, that's right. So there are a number of paths that could be used to get us more support. One of them, we've suggested to legislators and to the governor that we believe we are part of the response to the emergency that is coming down from the different decisions and chaos at the federal level. So you may know there's a $500 million emergency fund that the legislators just approved. We might be able to secure some support through that emergency fund. We might be able to secure some support through the regular budget process that the legislature and the governor will engage in coming up next year. So we aren't really concerned about where it comes from. We would just like to see that additional support because we are feeling every day the stress of Connecticut residents who need that support. And Melissa, to your important point about the stress that families are under, did you know that just since March, the cost of the essentials you need for a baby, a car seat, a bassinet, a changing table, those sorts of things, the cost of that bundle of essentials has increased by $400.
Oh, I believe it. Mm-hmm. I believe it.
To a lot of people, that's going to hurt. The average cost just in 2025 to a household in Connecticut, given the tariffs introduced at the federal level, is $2,400.
Wow.
Extra that people are paying just for essentials. So we know that people are under stress, and we're feeling that every day when they're calling 211 looking for resources to help them fill in gaps because their income isn't going as far as they need it to go. So we are part of the response to what we believe is an emergency right now in terms of need, and we'll continue to be part of that response moving forward. So whether it's out of the emergency funding or part of the regular budget cycle, we'll be glad either way. We just want to make sure that we have the staff capacity to be there for Connecticut residents who need us.
Well, Lisa Tepper Bates, I want to thank you so much for what you do, President and CEO of United Way of Connecticut, and thank you for giving us the time to talk about this specifically. I'd love to have you back on really soon because more stories coming out of United Way that I want to highlight on the show. So I'd love to have you back as soon as possible. Thank you so much.